Good afternoon, everybody. What is going on, everybody, on this Wednesday, December 4th, 2024? My name is Kevin Smith. Thank you all so much for tuning in to Loud Majority Live. We got a jam-packed show for you guys today. Some rich guy got shot in the back in New York City. Therefore, all of our local news coverage has got to talk about it all day and all night. It's not like that doesn't happen every single day in New York, but now it happened to some rich idiot, so now we're supposed to care about it. Also, Tennessee Supreme Court, the Supreme Court is hearing a lawsuit from the state of Tennessee attempting to ban transgender surgeries for minors across the country. Now, with that being said, we are going to comment on the two stupidest members of the Supreme Court. That would be Justice Sotomayor and Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who thinks she's smart enough to be on the Supreme Court, but doesn't know what a woman is. It's funny because her medical license seems to preclude her from knowing what a woman is, but she seems to have some particular views on what happens when you give testosterone to women. Not a big deal. Don't worry. We'll get to all of that. Also, Fannie, whatever the hell her name is, has been told to preserve her documents. Doesn't really matter who you are. Whenever someone tells you to preserve all of your documents, that's never a good sign. Never a good sign. And it turns out all it took was just a little bit of political pressure for Mayor Eric Adams to come around the mountain. But before we get to all of that, guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. We are rocking. We are rolling. Let's get this live chat up on the screen. What do we got? What do we got? What do we got? What do we got? There we go. Boom. There we go. There's the live chat. Hello, everybody. Angela, how are you? Deanne, how are you? Guinness, how are you? Jeanette, how are you? Guys, make sure if you're watching on the Facebook, do me a favor and hit that at button. That's, the little A with the circle around it. Hit that followers so that everyone can see it as well. Also, big shout out to Jen Lawrence for retweeting the show. If you're watching on X, do me a favor and retweet the show so that everybody can see it as well. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to have a little bit of fun today. Because this Supreme Court case should be obvious. I mean, it should be fairly obvious, but it's not, because we are run by stupid people. Goose, how are you? Hump day. Happy hump day. What's going on, everybody? Sophie, how are you? Bad Moon, what's happening? Voter 2, what's happening? Rumbled in Montana. I'm liking it. I may be coming to Montana soon. Not soon. Next year. But I may be coming there for an event. I am worried, though. If I go to Montana, I may never come home. Hugh Dog, first time being here. Well, welcome to the party, pal. Welcome to the party. This is the show where we like to make fun of silly people, and we stick to our guns here. We stick to our guns here that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. There we go. That ought to get the chat rolling. Let's dive right in to the breaking news. So, finally, California has finished counting all of its ballots. It's only been almost a month. But with the final House race called, the GOP has taken a 5-seat majority, obviously. Several of the GOP seats are going to be vacant because of members resigning or being nominated to the cabinet. But the final House GOP race has been called on Tuesday night with California GOP Rep. John Durant losing to the Democrat Adam Gray. He lost by like 130 votes. Yeah, okay, I believe that. No big deal. So Republicans pick up 2 seats in the House with 220 to 215. Gray won the seat in the state's 13th district in a rematch of the 2022 contest. He won by less than 200 votes, according to the Associated Press. So basically, nobody believes that. House Speaker Mike Johnson will begin the next congressional session in January with the narrowest of margins. Although the Louisiana Republican has a 5-seat majority, several of those seats will be vacant, including the one resigned by Matt Gaetz that will be taken over by a Republican as soon as Governor DeSantis calls for the reelection. Same with Mike Walls down in Florida and Congresswoman Stefanik up in the North Country, up in the very North Country. We shall see who puts their hat in the ring for that. But if you live between Albany and Canada and Fort Drum and Vermont, just know you're probably going to see me at some point over the course of the next couple of months. Just saying. Just saying. So that's the breaking news at this hour. But let's talk about Fawny. Fawny. Fanny, like your ass. Fannie Willis has been ordered to hand over all Jack Smith January 6th communications within 5 days. Now, look, I don't care what you're doing, who you are, what the case is, any of that. When somebody tells you to preserve your documents, things are about to go south. Because that means they have a reasonable suspicion that something nefarious is happening. Which, given the circumstances around this case, that should be obvious to everyone. Willis has been marred in controversy since the inception of her prosecution against Donald Trump. This from the Daily Wire. Embattled Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis has been ordered to hand over all records related to her communications with Special Counsel Jack Smith and the House January 6th Committee. After a court granted a motion for default adjustment against her on Tuesday. Willis, of course, is leading the controversial RICO case against now President-elect Donald Trump and several of his top advisors for alleged election interference. Of course, this is now on pause, which will give Fannie Willis plenty of time to sleep with her assistant district attorneys. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney. That's a fun name, McBurney. Is giving Willis 5 days to produce the material. Fox News reported on Tuesday night, McBurney, I think I'm going to like this guy. He's got a fun name. Also said in his ruling that Willis violated Georgia's Open Records Act when she failed to respond to the nonprofit Judicial Watch's lawsuit about the communications. Isn't it nice when district attorneys just make shit up as they go along? Willis's office claimed in March that it did not have any documents on file or communications with Smith or the January 6th committee. Fox noted, however, that claim was untrue. And the office did have such communications. Well, if your district attorney lies, seems to stand that would stand to reason, you know, when judges and lawyers lie, they tend to get disbarred. Google Mike Nifong for more information on that one. Daily Wire reports in October that Nathan Wade, Willis's romantic partner, whom she has hired as a special prosecutor in the Trump case, had extensive communications with the Biden White House, according to documents. Wade billed the Fulton County for hours of meetings with the White House and the Congressional January 6th Committee and other D.C. officials, according to records obtained by the House Judiciary Committee. So, she said there was no communication between her office and the January 6th Committee, except for the fact that there was a lot of it. There was extensive communications. On November 18th, 2022, he billed 8 hours for an interview with the White House. But under oath, he claimed he didn't remember the meeting and couldn't say whether it was online or in person. I'm not sure why that matters. Between September 7th and September 9th, 2022, Wade billed $6,000 to the taxpayer for witness interviews on a conference call in D.C., a team meeting, but couldn't remember what the meeting entailed. It's almost hard to believe people hate lawyers. It's almost hard to believe. In addition to the accusation that her office was allegedly working with the White House and top Democrats, Wilson has been marred by hiring Wade, her boyfriend, since the pair allegedly benefited financially from the arrangement. The release of a transcript of an interview with Wade, which was compiled by a subpoena, shows Willis was prepared to prosecute Trump even before she took office. She put Wade on a search committee to find a prosecutor, which ultimately chose him for the job. Come on. Come on. Currently, it's being worked through the courts to determine if Willis and her office can continue to prosecute the case. Wade has already been forced to resign from his position. So I guess now that he's not in his position, I guess he can put Fanny in whatever position he wants. Sorry, you can't. Yeah, look, you can't expect me not to. You can't expect me to let that one go. I'm just not gonna. There's no way I could have let that. I know I shouldn't have said that, but there's no way I'm gonna let that sentence go. There's no way I'm letting that go. Conservative Autumn, how are you? Let me know if there's anybody new in the chat today. You guys know I like seeing all the new people in here. In just a little bit, I keep getting thrown offline, says Caps McGroin. That's not good. That's not good. Mutt Mom, what's going on? How are you? So, Fannie Willis has been ordered to preserve all of her documents in relation to this. And I'm curious. I'm curious what this will lead to. Now, it remains to be seen how much power Governor Kemp has over this particular situation. But we've long said that these were political prosecutions. And it seems like every day, we're getting more and more and more proof that that is exactly the case. Why would an independent district attorney be in communications with the White House about the prosecution of a political opponent? Well, that's because Democrats can do whatever the hell they want and nobody seems to mind. Nobody seems to mind. But luckily, where can we watch the inauguration? You can watch it right here. You can watch it right here on LFA TV. That would be a good place to watch it. I'm fairly certain. I'm 99% sure. Luckily, though, we don't need to worry about fact checkers. We don't have to worry about that because we have some of the best fact checkers in the world working right now. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the number one best fact checker in the world is Joy Reid from MSNBC. Because somebody made a picture the other day of Donald Trump standing on top of a mountain holding a Canadian flag. It's an AI-generated image, and Joy Reid is very, very upset that Donald Trump reposted this. She's very, very, very upset. She's so upset that her hairline has begun going further and further back. Here's Joy Reid being very sad in the middle of a nonsense rant.
We are seeing a global trend of the far right surging. It isn't just happening here. But let's bring you back to the U.S. and to our local gangster, Donald Trump. He's not even president yet, and he's already spending his time sitting in his golden palace, Mar-a-Lago, muscling other countries like he's Tony Soprano with a social media site, doing things like reportedly debating whether or not to invade Mexico, threatening BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, with 100% tariffs if they don't commit to trading in dollars and not their own currencies, demanding Hamas release all hostages being held in Gaza before his inauguration, or there will be, quote, all hell to pay in the Middle East, even reportedly threatening Canada. According to Fox, when Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau went to Mar-a-Lago this weekend to try to talk Trump out of his 25% tariff threat, Trump apparently suggested that if Canada can't handle the tariffs that would violate the NAFTA upgrade Trump himself signed into law, the USMCA, they should just become the 51st state. Just become the 51st state instead and allow Trudeau to be reduced to governor of the state of Canada, which caused the prime minister and others to laugh nervously. And while some are writing that off as just a joke, just a few hours ago, Trump posted this obviously AI photo of him standing on a mountaintop next to the Canadian flag, looking off into the distance with the caption, "Oh, Canada." And for the record, he appears to be looking at the Matterhorn, which is on the border between Switzerland and Italy, not Canada. Oh, and let's not forget, this is the same Donald Trump who at one point seriously wanted to buy the nation of Greenland, even possibly trade it for Puerto Rico. I wonder what this guy has against Puerto Rico. I'll just keep noodling on it. I'm sure I'll figure it out. Bottom line, this is how Trump operates on the world stage.
It's so great to see Joy Reid out there fact-checking memes. Yes. Fact checked false. Donald Trump did not climb a mountain and plant a Canadian flag on it. I think we can fairly say that, you know, that probably didn't happen. What do we got here? What do we got here? We got some breaking news. We got some breaking news from the post-millennial. Very interesting. Hold on 1 minute. Let me pull this bad boy up. Breaking at this hour, Donald Trump has nominated Monica Crowley, friend of the show, Monica Crowley, to be the Assistant Secretary of State. Very nice. Let's see here. President-elect Donald Trump announced on Wednesday that he will nominate Monica Crowley for Ambassador, Assistant Secretary of State, and Chief of Protocol of the United States. Very nice. He wrote, Monica Crowley will be the administration's representative for major U.S.-hosted events, including America's 250th birthday, the FIFA World Cup, and the Olympics in 2028. Wow. I just realized we have so much stuff happening in America over the course of the next several years. We got the World Cup, we got the Olympics, and we got our 250th birthday. Giddy up. Let's go. I'm liking it. Congrats to Monica Crowley. Very nice. Friend of the show. Frequent visitor here on Long Island. Very good stuff. Congratulations, Monica Crowley, Assistant Secretary of State. Not bad. Not bad at all. Guys, we'll be back in 1 second. Mike Lindell.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dog.
Whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Guys, head on over to MyPillow.com. Promo code LOUD. That's MyPillow.com. Promo code LOUD for up to 80% off everything on the website. That's MyPillow.com. Promo code LOUD. Hey, what's up, Uncle Richie? How's it going? Marissa, how are you? Daniel Flores, how are you? Very good stuff. Happy you guys all caught in. Make sure you guys are sharing the show out wherever you're watching at. If you're watching on Facebook, hit that add button. Tag your followers so that everyone else can see it as well. If you're watching on X, do repost this so that we can have a... You know, I'm trying to grow this X page a little bit. I can't tell you why, but I'm like 3,800 away from somebody in particular, and I want to make sure I get more Twitter followers than him just because it will bother him. Just because it'll bother him. But let's move on. So, at the moment, there is a huge, huge, huge Supreme Court case going on right now in the... with the American Civil Liberties Union. Oh, hold on a minute. Let me pull this up. For some reason, I pulled up an NBC article, and I don't want to read that one. I got the wrong one pulled up. Boom. Let's see. The Supreme Court is weighing transgender youth treatments in a landmark case. This from Fox News. Petitioners argue Utes. 14th Amendment rights are being abridged by Tennessee law forbidding transgender surgery for minors. Now, if we lived in a rational country, this wouldn't be hard to figure out. The Supreme Court on Wednesday is hearing oral arguments in a high-profile case involving whether or not states can ban minors from receiving transgender surgery. Now, if we lived in a normal country, this would not be controversial in the slightest bit, but we live in a country run by idiots. Here was Fox News reporting.
Sex sex reassignment treatments will be heard before the U.S. Supreme Court. The suit is being brought by the Biden administration and challenges a Tennessee law banning puberty blockers and hormone treatments for minors. It's a pretty complicated and controversial case when you start to get into the details. But just for some background, it's 23 states right now that have basically some restrictions on it. In two states, it's banned, and then in two states, it's blocked, banned, and it's set to take effect in New Hampshire up there. So that's happening on the state level, okay? So this is a question about, is it constitutional? But how do people feel about it? Strongly divided here in America. Strongly favor this kind of law that bans at 33%, strongly oppose at 32%. This is one of the reasons the Supreme Court takes up these issues, because people are deeply divided. The constitutional issue is going to get a question here. But if you look at the adults in America who have identified as transgender over their years, look at the increase. For the baby boomers at 1%, then 2%, 2% for baby boomers, goes up a little bit for Gen X, up for millennials, but 22.3% for Generation Z. What is happening here? We want to ask Chloe Cole. She is a detransitioner and do no harm patient advocate. Thanks for doing our show today. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
So you're at the Supreme Court today. For people that aren't familiar with your story, can you tell us a little bit about why you would be there today and the message that you want to send?
So I am a detransitioner and an advocate for the rights of children to grow up with their bodies fully intact and for parents to raise their children with the best options possible. I went through a medical gender transition myself when I was a child between the ages of 12 to 16. And this medical ideology was something that consumed most of my adolescent formative years. And I've lost parts of my body. I was on puberty blockers at 13, cross-sex hormone injections, and I underwent a double mastectomy to remove my breasts when I wasn't even old enough yet to drive a vehicle. And I think that the fact that we're mutilating children in the name of their momentary feelings is horrific beyond words.
One of the things that you wrote in an op-ed on April 22nd is, medicine shuns gender detransitioners like me, but we deserve to be heard and helped. So the Biden administration is saying that Tennessee should not be allowed to ban this type of practice in this health care, is what the parents are saying. But Tennessee is saying, no, we do have that right, and they have precedent for it. So when you talk to people, not necessarily about the precedent and the law, and you talk about your personal story, do you have parents who might be concerned about the well-being of their children, the children who are questioning? How do you help them think through the possibility of waiting until somebody is more of an adult to take this on?
Absolutely. I mean, I've had a lot of parents reach out to me talking about their concerns, many of them on different sides of the issue. But for the parents who are on the fence about this, I tell them that puberty is not negotiable for their children. It's the only choice that a child has is to grow up with their body fully intact. And children, they can't consent to things like sex or buying alcohol or cigarettes. They can't vote. They can't enter into legally binding contracts under the age of 18. So to allow them to make a decision that will affect not only the entire course of their development physically, psychologically, and reproductively is completely ridiculous. And it's okay to allow your child to experience this discomfort.
It is completely ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous and absolutely not safe at all. Now, why do I show you that gigantic clip? Why do I show you that long-ass clip? Because it turns out Chloe Cole went through this, one of the most horrific things I can possibly imagine. And is now a fierce advocate for protecting children. But what does this case involve? Well, the Supreme Court on Wednesday heard oral arguments in a case involving whether states can ban minors from receiving gender transition medical care under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, a closely watched case that could impact the care and treatment for young people in at least half of the United States. The case, United States v. Scrimeti, centers on a Tennessee law that bans child transition treatments for adolescents in the state. The law, passed in March of 2023, also takes aim at healthcare providers in Tennessee who continue to provide gender transition treatments to transgender minors, opening them up to fines, lawsuits, and other liabilities. The issue in this case is whether Tennessee's Senate Bill 1, which, quote, prohibits all medical treatments intended to allow a minor to identify with or live as or purportedly identify inconsistent with the minor's sex, or to treat purported discomfort or distress from a discordance between a minor's sex and asserted identity, violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. What this is saying is that not allowing this to happen, this is someone suing the state of Tennessee. The state of Tennessee is the defendant in this case. What they are saying is that not allowing this to happen violates people's rights under the 14th Amendment. Now, I could see how someone could make that argument. I think it's ridiculous, but I could see how somebody would make that argument. One kind of way is, one way that I think is ridiculous is, let's say, I don't know, you were an Ivy League educated lawyer. And you found a way to make it all the way to the Supreme Court. And then you sit on the Supreme Court. And then you compare not allowing interracial marriage to not allowing a child to cut off parts of their body. Well, if you can imagine that, then your name would be Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Being drawn by the statute. That was sort of like the starting point. The question was whether it was discriminatory because it applied to both races and it wasn't, you know, necessarily invidious or whatever. But, you know, as I read the statute here, the case here, the court starts off by saying that Virginia is now one of 16 states which prohibit and punish marriages on the basis of racial classifications. And when you look at the structure of that law, it looks in terms of, you can't do something that is inconsistent with your own characteristics. It's sort of the same thing. So it's interesting to me that we now have this different argument, and I wonder whether Virginia could have gotten away with what they did here by just making a classification argument the way that Tennessee is in this case.
Yes, I think that's exactly right, that there is absolutely a parallel between any law that says you can't act inconsistent with a protected characteristic and in all other contexts.
That is out of control. Of course, she's referencing the Loving v. Virginia case in 1967, which at the time, the state of Virginia did not allow interracial marriage. Now, obviously, that's ridiculous. Obviously, that's completely ridiculous. But what Ketanji Brown Jackson is saying is that Virginia could have gotten away with allowing that if they had just changed the classification of the law. No. No. Imagine getting to the highest pinnacle of your profession and not being able to make that pretty basic distinction, that fairly basic distinction. Now, with that being said, let's get back to Ketanji Brown Jackson, because remember when she said she didn't know what a woman was and she couldn't comment on that because she wasn't a, quote, biologist? Well, here's Ketanji Brown Jackson trying to argue that additional testosterone treatments have no impact, have no difference of impact on men and women.
That it operates on the body in the same way. So what's your basis for saying they're not the same?
I don't think it operates on the body in the same way. Take testosterone. If you give a boy with a deficiency testosterone because he has constitutional delayed puberty, that allows him to go through and develop the reproductive organs associated with being a male. If you give it to a girl, it renders the girl infertile. So we have 8 to 12-year-olds.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought your reasons for them being different was that you said they were for different purposes. I'd heard you say at the beginning the reason those two are different is because one wants them to transition and the other wants them for some medical purpose.
Well, to go back to my example in the introduction, I don't think anyone would say using morphine to assist suicide is the same treatment as using morphine to manage pain. It's the same drug, just like it's the same drug here, but they're being used for fundamentally different purposes. They have different effects on the body. And once you take out and recognize medical reality, then there is no argument that our law differentiates between treatments for males and females.
Can I ask you about...
Don't worry, everyone. If you thought that was a stupid argument, if you thought that was a stupid example, I've got one even better. I've got one coming even better. Coming from Justice Sonia Sotomayor. I'm not sure if you guys are ready for this one. I'm not sure. Is everyone sitting down? You better be before we get to that.
The biggest benefit, honestly, has been with my skin. Skin was more hydrated, more radiant.
This is the best superfood that you could take.
It has all the essential nutrients you need for your skin, your gut, energy, focus, mood, performance.
My hair has gotten so much thicker ever since taking this.
I used to have a probiotic, a green juice that replaced it all with this Arma colostrum. It is amazing.
You gotta take it.
If you wanna try it, try Arma.com.
Guys, start feeling better today with the superfood formula over at TryArmra.com/LFATV. That is TryArmra.com/LFATV. Let's be honest, guys. You're not getting the right amount of nutrients all day long. You're not eating the food you need to be eating. So, guys, pick up that extra pump with TryArmra over at TryArmra.com/LFATV to get 15% off. Giddy up, let's go. Giddy up, let's go. Before I show you Justice Sotomayor and her dumbass comment, guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. Guys, every time we're going to show, because now that the Supreme Court is back in session, we're going to get a lot more of these. We're going to get an awful lot more of these. Just know that it is entirely possible that Donald Trump will appoint two more Supreme Court justices and possibly three more if Justice Sotomayor's health continues to be in poor form, which is something I obviously am not hoping for, which is something obviously I do not want. But she's in her 70s. She's in incredibly poor health. It's not out of the realm of possibility. That would give Donald Trump basically five seats on the Supreme Court, giving Republicans control of the Supreme Court for the next 35 years. Giddy up, let's go. And possibly a 6-3 majority on the court. It will literally be known as the Trump Court. So, I hope you guys are all sitting down for this dumbass argument made by Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Because she had a question for the Solicitor General of Tennessee. Because he brought up the amount of people who have adverse effects from many of these puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. And Justice Sotomayor said, well, that shouldn't really count because it turns out some people have a negative reaction to aspirin.
Cannot eliminate the risk of detransitioners. So it becomes a pure exercise of weighing benefits versus risk. And the question of how many minors have to have their bodies irreparably harmed for unproven benefits is one that is best left.
I'm sorry, counselor. Every medical treatment has a risk. Even taking aspirin. There is always going to be a percentage of the population under any medical treatment that's going to suffer a harm. So the question in my mind is not, do policymakers decide whether one person's life is more valuable than the millions of others who get relief from this treatment? The question is, can you stop one sex from the other?
Millions? Millions of kids are doing this? Justice Sotomayor? Really? That's news to me, number one. Number two, did she just compare taking aspirin to cutting off your brajol? Is that what just happened? The older I get, I'm going to put the live chat up for this one. Do you guys remember when you were kids and you thought that, like, your parents were like the smartest people in the world and that they knew everything and that grown-ups were always right. You remember when you were like 7, 8, 9 years old and you thought that? And then you became a grown-up and you became an adult and you found out the majority of the people you know are complete morons? That's what it's like once you work in government. The further into government you get, the more you find out that some of the people in our government are the least impressive human beings who have ever lived. Despite being one of the 9 people who have given up, who have been given a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court, it turns out Justice Sotomayor is just as dumb as the average person walking down the street. The old saying that I would rather have the Senate occupied by the first 100 names in the yellow pages might be the most accurate sentence in American history. Might be the most accurate sentence in American history. But that is not the dumbest take in this entire debate. It's not. I'm about to play you guys a clip that I promise you I have not edited the audio in any way, shape, or form. This is what this person really said and really sounds like.
I would say is nobody has to provide this medication to adolescents. These are not doctors being forced to provide this medication. These are doctors who are wanting to treat their patients in the best way that they know how, based on the best available evidence to us. And these are young people who may have known since they were 2 years old exactly who they are, who suffered for 6, 7 years before they had any relief. And what's happening here, it's not the kids who are consenting to this treatment, it's the parents who are consenting to the treatment. And as a parent, I would say, when our children are suffering, we are suffering. And these are parents who love their children, who are listening to the advice of their doctors, of the mainstream medical community, and doing what's right for their kids, and the state of Tennessee has displaced their judgment.
First off, 2-year-olds? Probably not. Second off, what the hell is that voice? That's not even a woman's voice. That sounds like somebody stepped on Alvin and the Chipmunks. How do you get a voice like that? But apparently, CNN found it practical to have some, I don't know, whatever, on there to say that children as young as 2 know they're the wrong gender. Spoiler alert, no they don't. No they don't. 2-year-olds don't know anything. They don't know anything. I don't care how smart your 2-year-old is. Your 2-year-old is dumb because they're 2 years old. Once again, not a complicated thought. If you go outside, this is not hard stuff, everybody. But apparently it's incredibly difficult if you are a member of the radical left-wing trans ideologue. Say whatever the hell comes to mind. And no one has the balls, no pun intended, to push back in any way, shape, or form. Nobody has the courage to look this person in the face and just go, no. No. Wait, what was that? 2-year-olds can pick their gender? No, they can't. No, they can't, and you're a terrible parent. You wouldn't let your 2-year-old pick what they're going to have for dinner. But if they want to... What are we doing? You know... This is going to be one of those things we look back on 40, 50 years from now when the dust settles. Like the way we look back on the Democrats' attempted eugenics program. The way we look back on things like the Tuskegee experiment. The way we look back on prefrontal lobotomies. Or electroshock therapy. And we're going to sit there and think to ourselves, how the did we ever allow this to happen? How did we ever allow this to happen? How did we allow crazy people to believe that they have somehow gained the moral high ground by mutilating kids. I don't know if I'm on the right side of certain arguments, okay? Maybe I'm wrong about Israel and Gaza. Maybe I'm wrong about Ukraine and Russia. Maybe I'm wrong about tax policy. Maybe I'm wrong about tariffs. I am 100% certain on this topic of allowing the mutilation of children that I am on the right side of history. Somebody else on the right side of history, of course, is Matt Walsh.
Now, third, finally, with all that said, I actually agree with the premise, sort of. This case is about the rights of children. It's about the right of a child to be protected from the gender butchers. That's what it's about. Children have the constitutional right, the human right, the God-given right to live and grow and learn about themselves and the world without being indoctrinated and exploited by people who reject the fundamental realities of existence. Children have a right to go through phases, to have moments of confusion and discomfort in their own bodies, just like every generation of children before them, without that confusion being seized upon as a pretense to do irreparable harm to their bodies. So to the trans activists over there claiming this is all about the rights of children, I say again, yes, you're right, it is. They have a right to be protected from you. Children have a right to be protected from all of those people over there who want to harm them and damage them and destroy them. And they will be. They are going to lose. They are losing right now. We are not going to let them harm our children. This case is just the beginning of the fight. It is not the end. We are not going to rest until every child is protected, until trans ideology is entirely erased from the earth. That's what we're fighting for, and we will not stop until we achieve it. Thank you.
I want to thank Matt Walsh for having the courage to stand out there with radical transgender activists who attempted to block the camera but apparently didn't have enough testosterone in their body to have a high enough high jump. You could tell that there's radical liberals out there because one of them tried to cover up the camera with a mask. Apparently they're out there painting, wearing a painter's mask, or I don't know, they're out there sanding wood or something. I am firmly confident that we are on the right side of history on this one. I will stand firm on that, and I have absolutely no issue doing it, and you should not either. Guys, before we keep moving and grooving here, because I do have some more stuff that I want to get to, I got to get to New York City. I got to get to my home, baby. We got to talk about what happened today in New York City, and I'm incredibly annoyed by it. I'm incredibly annoyed by it. Before we get to that, guys, head on over to lfatv.us. That's lfatv.us. That is your home base, your mothership for all things LFA TV related. Make sure you guys check out that LFA TV store. Check out all your gear. Grab your gear over at the LFA TV store. Guys, that way when you see us out and about, whether it's at the inauguration or it's at Turning Point USA, we can pick you out in the crowd. We can pick you out in the crowd. Can't wait to meet so many of you guys, not only at the inauguration, but at Turning Point USA in Arizona in a couple of weeks. Giddy up, let's go. Giddy up, let's go. Also, guys, I do want to thank you guys always so much for not only becoming monthly donors to LFA TV, but all of your Rumble rants and how much you guys contribute to the network. Look, we don't have big sponsors. We bare bones this network. So all of your Rumble rants and all of your donations are incredibly important. All the donations you send to the individual shows are incredibly important. We really can't do it without your help. And there's going to be so much coming up over the course of the next year, most notably the New Jersey governor's race, which I'm sure someone else has talked about. I'm going to roll the dice and say that. What's that, Hazel Kitty? I don't know what that's got to do with anything. All right. Whatever. Hazel Kitty, hit me up afterwards. I don't know what that means. But guys, I do want to thank you always for all of your donations to the network. Do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. So it turns out all it takes is a little bit, just a little bit, a wee bit of political will, a little bit of political pressure to get radical Democrats to do what you want them to do. Proof positive of that is over the course of the last several days. Obviously, I've shown you guys videos of radical Democrats like Kathy Hochul saying that they plan to deport migrant criminals. This shouldn't be hard. Now we've got another one. We've got Democratic Mayor Eric Adams, who vows to work with the Trump team to deport convicted illegal immigrants. New York City Mayor Eric Adams said he would work with Borders Czar Tom Homan to deport illegal immigrants who commit crimes. Adams' remarks came within weeks of him promising to expand the NYPD using money previously allocated for illegal immigrants due to the reduced arrivals. The New York Times reported that New York City hosts 58,000 convicted illegal immigrants, including over 1,000 suspected or confirmed gang members. Well, isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? Here was Mayor Eric Adams saying something he should have said years ago.
Those who are here committing crimes, robberies, shooting at police officers, raping innocent people, have been a harm to our country. I want to sit down and hear the plan on how we're going to address them. Those are the people I am talking about, and I would love to sit down with the Border Czar and hear his thoughts on how we're going to address those who are harming our citizens.
You're open to that?
To
hearing what their plan is to deport some of these folks, and you think the city, in some circumstances, should cooperate with ICE?
Let me. You know what's interesting? And I was talking to the team the other day. I want you to all go back and Google Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Google what they said about those who commit crimes in our city and what they said in our country. They said those who commit crimes need to get out right away. That was their position. So this is not a new position, you know, because in the state of era of cancel culture, no one is afraid to be honest about the truth. Well, cancel me, because I'm going to protect the people of this city. And if you come into this country, in this city, and think you're going to harm innocent New Yorkers and innocent migrants and asylum seekers, this is not the mayor you want to be in the city under.
Turns out all it took was a phone call, not even a very big phone call, just to get Mayor Eric Adams to see that maybe, just maybe, New York City needs some help. Now, today in New York City, this is the part of the show that you thought I was annoyed before. Wait till I get annoyed now. Today, this morning, in New York City, the CEO of United Health was shot in the back on his way to a convention or something at a hotel in New York City. Now, look. Obviously, I don't want to see anybody get killed. I don't care if they are a pharmaceutical CEO, unless they're Richard Sackler. I'm only kidding. Not really, but kind of. Obviously, I don't want to see anybody get shot in the back. This guy's a husband. He's a father. He's got kids. You know, very sad. My problem is ABC, NBC, CBS Local covering this wall to wall all day. A CEO was killed on the streets of New York City. This happens to poor people every day. Every day. Because of gangs. Because of illegal immigrants. Because of the murder rate that just so happens to come when you put 8 million people on a tiny ass block of land. These things just happen. Local news spends like 2 minutes talking about the 80-year-old Asian woman who gets pushed in front of a subway by a member of Trende Aragua. CBS spends 3 minutes talking about the woman who was raped between two parked cars on the Upper East Side. But today, some rich asshole got shot in the back on the street, and we've got to hear wall-to-wall coverage. Wall to wall. Well, can you believe it? Look, do I want anybody to die? No, I don't want them to die. But perhaps, just maybe, If local news spent as much time covering the shooting of the United Healthcare, what is it, United Healthcare, whatever the hell it is, CEO being shot in the back as they did, as they would on illegal immigrants committing violent crimes all over the city, maybe Eric Adams would have been pushed to say that exact sentence a couple of years ago. But can't do that. No, no, no. Scott is right. When a CEO has fallen, it's too close to the elites, isn't it? They only care about themselves. Yes, Scott, you know what? You got that right. You absolutely got that right. They only care about themselves. They only care when the people who go to their parties die. When the rest of us, they don't care whatsoever. Nancy Joy, thank you so much for the Rumble rant, as always. As always. Couple more stories I want to get to, because as I said, these people only seem to care about themselves. Well, luckily, the neighborhood is going to take care of some of these things, because the residents of Chicago, residents of the South Side, are a little bit mad at Mayor Brandon Johnson. Before we get to that, guys, head on over to loudmajorityusa.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out our shop. Check out all the great merchandise over there, guys. We've got so much stuff over there. We got the Trump ugly Christmas sweater. Looks absolutely phenomenal. Check this out. Somebody got one of these today. Boom. Let's pop this up onto the screen. Let's check this bad boy out. The Trump ugly Christmas sweater. Like, imagine what you will do to your liberal family members if you show up to Christmas wearing this. I love it. I like it. I want some more of it. Guys, head on over to loudmajorityusa.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out our shop. Also, if you would like to support our voter registration efforts that we're going to be doing over the next several weeks and months, guys, hit that. You can see it right on the screen. Hit that donate button. Become a monthly donor to the Loud Majority. We can't do it without your help. Guys, thank you all so, so much for the support. As always, when you head on over to loudmajorityusa.com, use promo code LFA to get 20% off everything on the website. We appreciate the support. And, you know, the people that put this website together, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Got to keep them well fed. So, as I said, the residents of Chicago are just about done with Mayor Brandon Johnson. And I don't know when these city council meetings happen in Chicago, but I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make it to one of these because they are objectively hilarious.
Trump, Tom Homan, make an example at this Negro right here first. Please come here first, because you know what? We're going to help you. We want to forensic.
Ma'am, I would ask that you, hold on a second. Stop her time. Stop her time.
You told Trump you ain't going to blink? Well, we ain't either. You ain't above the law. And where you going to run to when Trump pours that Trump card out on you?
There's a 10-year prison sentence when you want to stand up here for those illegals. You all sit up there and say it. You will not allow Trump to come in here and get these illegals. Yeah, you can smile. We're in a $1 billion deficit. And you spent half of our money, half of that, on illegals. You campaign and double down that you will not raise property taxes. I ain't gonna do that. You campaign went around doing that. And here we are right now. You wanted to raise our taxes $300 million. They shut it down. Now we back here for $150 million. Okay. See, this is what we asking now. Since you want to crash out, some of y'all say y'all willing to go to jail for it. Trump, Tom Homan, make an example at this Negro right here first. Please come here first, because you know what? We're going to help you. We want a forensic.
Ma'am, I would ask that you, hold on a second. Stop her time. Stop her time. Just a second. Stop her time. Ma'am, I would ask that you, if you want to continue speaking, you have to make sure that your language is appropriate, okay? All right.
Okay, we got Alex.
Okay, you can begin her time again.
Spend our tax dollars to go, Michael Rodriguez, you said to take Trump to court to protect these illegals. You said you're going to spend our tax dollars to take Trump to court to protect these illegals if they try to come in here, in your district. And then you said they all of y'all in cahoots with each other to do it. Okay, so now we about to make y'all famous. We're going to let all y'all constituents know who y'all ratting for, that y'all wouldn't spend our tax dollars to protect illegals and to get them legal services. So that's what we're doing. That's cool, because we about to make all of y'all aldermen famous. Flip Chicago red. We not playing.
All right, two things. Number one, that woman is terrifying. Number two, who's up to go to Chicago, baby? Let's flip Chicago red. I'm liking it. I'm liking it a lot. Guys, we will be back tomorrow. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. Remember, guys, if they can keep fighting in Chicago, you can keep fighting wherever you live. We certainly aren't going to give up the fight here in New York and New Jersey. You got that right. Just in case you read that save, that Jersey Shore newspaper article. Don't worry, I'm sure somebody else spoke about it. Guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Head on over to loudmajorityusa.com, sign up for the newsletter, check out our shop, hit the thumbs up button on the way out the door. Will Johnson with the culture war is coming up next. Did we hit 300? I think we did. Giddy up, let's go. Giddy up, let's go, guys. I'll catch you guys back live tomorrow. Until then, everybody, stay loud.